I'd like to thank Aaron K. for sponsoring this week's Torah content. June is less than a month away, which means that I'll soon be transitioning into summer writing mode, with more Substack articles and fewer recorded shiurim. The bulk of these articles will remain free. However, if you would like to support my Torah and access additional spicy written content, consider becoming a paid subscriber by going to rabbischneeweis.substack.com. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the audio version of the one-page article I wrote and published on my Substack at rabbischneeweis.substack.com on March 15th, 2024, originally published as a Shalhevet newsletter Dvar Torah on March 15th, 2012. And the article is entitled Vayakel Pikude, Tedious by Design. Vayakel and Pikude describe the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and its kelim, vessels, in detail. These parshios contain virtually no new material that wasn't covered in Truma and Tetzaveh. Why did Hashem include such repetitious passages in his Torah? Rabag, at the end of Shemos chapter 40, offers four theories to explain this. Rabag's first explanation is straightforward. Perhaps the Jews at the time of the giving of the Torah were accustomed to this style of writing, and that's how Hashem dictated it to Moshe. To us, it might seem strange for the Torah to describe the architecture and construction of the Mishkan in such painstaking detail, but to the generation of Jews that had just been liberated from Egyptian slavery, such an elaborate description would be enthralling and would only add to the Mishkan's grandeur. This is an extension of the principle Dibra Torah Kiloshon B'nei Adam, the Torah speaks in the language of man. We often forget that the Torah was given not just to B'nei Adam in abstract, but to a specific group of B'nei Adam who lived at a specific time in history. His second explanation requires a preface. Every single letter of the Torah reflects Hashem's infinite wisdom. That being said, there are a number of sections in Torah which are exceedingly short and concise, yet are disproportionately rich in fundamental truths, more so than many of the longer passages in the Torah. For example, the first parsha of the Shema is only six psukim long, but contains the most fundamental foundational ideas in Torah. Likewise, love your neighbor as yourself is only a single phrase, but it expresses the core of Judaism. Rabag's second theory is that the Torah included extensively detailed sections to stimulate in-depth analysis of these more fundamental, concise passages. Rabag's reasoning is that if the entire Torah were written in an equally concise manner, the reader might mistakenly conclude that these fundamental passages were written in a pithy manner purely for stylistic reasons. Consequently, the reader would view these passages as being on par with the rest of the Torah and would underestimate their depth and profundity. Therefore, Hashem included long-winded portions of redundant material in the Torah so that when readers encounter these succinct passages, like Shema Yisrael, they will make sure to scrutinize them and mine them to uncover their full ideational content. Rabag's third answer is built upon his understanding of the Mishkan as an allegorical model of the universe. Every aspect of the Mishkan symbolizes or alludes to a specific set of truths in physics and metaphysics. Accordingly, he suggests that the Torah repeats the entire architectural scheme of the Mishkan in Vayakel and Pikude in great detail to underscore the fact that every detail is essential to the allegorical Mishkan curriculum. Any modification to Mishkan would result in a loss or distortion of the truths it was designed to symbolically reflect. Rabag prefaces his fourth explanation by noting that the order of the Mishkan components differs from Vayakel Pikude to Truma Tetzaveh, or I should say the other way around, from Truma Tetzaveh to Vayakel Pikude. According to Rabag, Truma and Tetzaveh follow the conceptual order, of the Mishkan, beginning with the Kelim that reflect the most fundamental truths and entities in the universe, and progressing downwards in their existential hierarchy. Vayakel Pikude, on the other hand, follows the practical order, i.e. the order in which the craftsmen built the Mishkan. Thus, Rabag's fourth answer is that the Torah repeats the description of Mishkan to make us aware that there is a conceptual hierarchy to the components of Mishkan, and that understanding the sequencing of the descriptions in Truma Tetzaveh is the key to unlocking its secrets. Whether or not we accept Rabag's answers, there is a valuable lesson in methodology we can learn from his endeavor. If something in Torah bothers us, we should formulate it as a question and investigate it. Complaining that these parshios are boring only leads to frustration, whereas asking the mature question, what function is served by this repetition, will lead to greater insight and appreciation of the wisdom in Hashem's Torah. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.